Welcome to the podcast for the table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together a taste of the music that we experience here in worship on Sunday mornings, along with the scripture reading and a message. We would love for you to take a next step in growing in faith in our community. If that means you are here in Sacramento, to join us for worship at 9:30 or 11 in the morning at 5265 H Street, or if you're one of the many people who connects with our podcast from around other parts of the state or even the country, we would invite you to take a next step on our website by making a deep commitment to our community of faith or learning more about growing in faith at the table. Our reading this morning comes from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, and this is one of the two places that what we call the Ten Commandments is recorded in the Hebrew Bible. Then God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses God's name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not cover your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down. And I tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all of the pain. I didn't know my own strengths by my darkest hour. Faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, held my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength.
Before we get started, just want to make a couple notes. As I was worshiping this morning with you all, just reflecting on how much healing had to take place for me to hear a song like Fix Me, Jesus, and know that it's not a vindictive or judgmental or a self-loathing psalm, but an earnest desire to want to love and share with others in ways that are meaningful. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in our message. And the other thing that I was also thinking through was, man, I hate that verse. God is a jealous God. Does anybody else hate that verse? I mean, come on. And as I was researching this week, one of the ways that Walter Brueggemann, who's a Old Testament scholar, he encapsulates it by saying, it's not about Yahweh versus Baal or Pharaoh. It's more about, what system do you want to live under? Do you want to be under an exploitative system? Or do you want a system that's revolutionary, that will change the lives and hearts of many people, that they can live in mutuality and respect? And so those are two things that just came in my heart as I was worshiping this morning. And let's pray. God, we thank you for the ways in which you speak to us. We thank you for the ways that you gather us together. You called us to be community. Would you speak to our hearts a word of encouragement? In Jesus' name, amen. If it was a Saturday morning at St. Paul's Church in Harlem, New York, then you would better believe that Robert Sharper was on his way to lead their recovery group. And even though he was tired often from working overtime and still unable to make ends meet and stressed out as a father, Robert made a point to be there week in and week out to facilitate this group. And part of that reason was because he himself was in recovery. He actually recruited many of the members in that recovery group, including his former drug dealer. About 45 minutes after he arrives, a group begins to gather and they make small talk. And when the time for the group has started, Robert dims the lights and he puts a cassette tape in and plays music, and it fills the space that they're in with music. The song is, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. For I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." As the music continues, conversations begin to cease and the people take their seats and listen and meditate on the song's words. You'll find one man leaning forward with his fingers pinching the bridge of his nose. Another drops his chin into clasped hands, and even a woman is hugging herself across the chest. The people there range from their 20s to their 60s, from the illiterate and unemployed to the college-educated and professional. They wear silk blouses, and some wear sweatpants. Some will wear Italian flats, and some will wear scuffed-up sneakers. But on every top coat, on everyone's lapel or their shirt, they all wear a button showing two people inside of a teardrop, facing each other with their arms stretched out to one another. This is their insignia. This is the sign that they, too, are a wounded healer. During the meeting, a woman by the name of Evelyn begins to share about her struggles. She shares how many times she has almost taken her own life through her mistakes. She tries to shield herself from shedding a tear by clenching her eyes closed, but tears manage to squeeze through. Tom Carter shares how the doctor just found a growth on his lung and he would be receiving a biopsy later on that week. And his first thought after that diagnosis, after hearing this news, was, man, I need to get an eighth of cocaine just to get through this. And Tom isn't the only person in the room who faces that struggle. Another member in their group relapsed that same week. Another has yielded two or three times within that year. Yet week after week, they still gather. in faith that by working through their program, by walking through the steps and sharing their struggles with one another, that they will be able to be their best selves, not allowing their addiction to rule over them. They know that their recovery is not done when they acknowledge they have a problem, but it is only worked out through their meaningful actions, by walking the 12 steps towards wholeness. And what we encounter in the book of Exodus is God giving the children of Israel a program. After generations spent in slavery to the Egyptians, God leads them out of captivity. But it wasn't before long that it became clear that it wasn't enough for the children just to be out of physical captivity. It wasn't enough that God let them out of Egypt. God needed to get the Egypt out of them. God was not only interested in their physical freedom, but their spiritual freedom, so that they would not repeat the same patterns of exploitation when they reached the promised land. The Ten Commandments were a program for their recovery. And the truth is that we are all in recovery. Whether or not we have a physical or chemical addiction, we are all recovering from something. We were created in the image of God. We were made to love and to receive love. But like the children of Israel, we inherited a broken consciousness that makes it difficult to love. For some, it is a lack of forgiveness. For some, it's a lack of trust. And for others, it's an inability to love ourselves by letting go of toxic relationships. Whatever your shackles, God desires for us all to be free from them. Because the world desperately needs a community of people who are committed to loving one another. I like the way that Bob Marley said it. He said, "Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind." Emancipating ourselves from mental slavery is putting meaningful action behind our intention. And the Ten Commandments sums up action steps towards our journey to recovery as well. It is described as being written on two tablets. And the first tablet contains the first three commandments. They instruct us in how to stay in love with God. And the second tablet teaches us how to do good and to avoid doing harm. And they suggest that if people get their relationship right with God, that they would have a chance at loving other people in right relationship. But how's that working out for us? My great-great-aunt Nema was a beautiful woman on the inside and out, and very, very dedicated to her church and her tradition. She was a wonderful cook. She loved her family. But things took a violent turn in her marriage. Her husband was an alcoholic who would abuse her physically. And finally, after years of abuse, she divorced her husband. The problem was that in her tradition, divorce was forbidden, and it is forbidden. If people divorce from their spouse, they are excommunicated from the people of faith. They can't take communion. They can't fully participate in the life of their church. And Aunt Nema had to be placed in a difficult position of choosing between her physical safety and her faith. And we do this too often as a church. A couple years ago, in the aftermath of a shooting, there was a lot of social media from self-avowed Christian politicians who were saying, "We're sending our thoughts and our prayers to the victims of those who've been shot." And the Daily News did a really, what I feel was a prophetic article when they said that God is not fixing this. As provocative as the article was, it reflects a lot of our own frustrations with organized religion that says one thing with their mouth, but their actions do not follow up with their words. Say amen, somebody. I said, say amen, somebody. And sometimes it's not just religious institutions that keep us from working a program. Sometimes it's our own tendency to fail. Many of us know what it means to try to lose weight, to try not to cuss out the driver who just cut us off on the freeway, to try to forgive others. And we know what it means to put forth an honest effort only to fail miserably. Because we have tried and failed so many times at this attempt to bring forth our best self, that self that is grounded in the truth and love of God that we are made as children of God. And we get off track. Why continue to try and be something only to be disappointed again? As it is with many of us, so it was during a race that occurred in the UK several years ago. A runner by the name of Derek Redmond was a runner with the British sprint team, and he was running the 4x400 relay with his teammates. And at the onset of the race, his team was moving nicely along the track. And then came the baton handoff to Derek. His job was to bring it home. His last leg of the race should have brought his team a gold medal. But as he turned the corner, he pulled an Achilles tendon and fell on his face. He laid there on the ground and in desperate pain. He didn't want to be there, but he was in too much pain to get up. And so there was an older man who came from the stands and went over to the track and picked up Derek Redmond. One of the judges said, I'm sorry, so you must get off of the track. But the older gentleman waved his hand and said, no, this is my son we're talking about. Derek Redmond's father left the stands from on high and came down where Derek Redmond was and where he had fallen down to the dust and the dirt of the feet. And he picked him up and put him on over his shoulder. He put his arm around his son's waist and helped him cross the finish line. The crowd stood up in applause. Derek Redmond and his father got more applause than the runners who didn't fall at all. The people who never failed did not need help from their daddy. They were sufficient to make it on their own. But Derek made it across the finish line with help from his father. Jesus came down from on high 2,000 years ago to pick up a people who had fallen and couldn't get back up. And his presence is still here under the elements of bread and wine. And he is willing to pick you up and to let you put your arm around his shoulder. He'll put his arm around your waist and he'll drag you across the finish line if he has to. You can still walk across the line, a winner for the glory of God, by relying on him to carry you through. There are people in this room who have given up on themselves, given up on their dreams, are overwhelmed by life circumstances, and in the midst of the challenges, we fail. But God's program of transformation was never about you and your strength. It's about God and God's strength, the strength of a community that God calls together that we call the church that will help us across the finish line when we stumble. So this morning, if you have gotten off of the program, get back on it. If the people around you are making you feel a little weary, keep walking. If you have thought about giving up the fight, stick with it. And as you march through life's struggle, remember the words of this old hymn. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand, for I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Amen.
When you walk through the garden, girl, watch your back. Will I beg your pardon? Or walk the straight and narrow track? Cause if you walk with Jesus, he's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil down in the hole. He's got the fire and fury, and he's the man. Where you don't safe from Satan. When the thunder rolls, I bet you got to keep the